One.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Green 19 Packers podcast. I am your co-host, Jim Lazarski, alongside Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. And here we are, Tom. It is Thursday, August 20th, and day five of Packers training camp, and a unique one, which we will get into in just a little bit. So before we do that, let's recap, you know, Wednesday's practice. Pads again, 2 days in a row, but a different kind of setup with you know, kind of starting the day in pads, ending without, and kind of a walkthrough session. You know, Matt LaFleur did not want to go kind of full speed, full intensity in pads 2 days in a row here at the start. So what was maybe the takeaway of what you saw and kind of the limited teamwork on Ray Nitschke Field?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, but we'll get into that in a minute. They started in shoulder pads and shorts. They didn't have to wear their leg pads. And I think he wanted to just get in a little bit of hitting, a little bit of physical play practice, and then but he didn't want to overwork them, and so they took the pads off with after about an hour maybe.
Yeah,
and then the last 20 minutes they just did a jog through, and probably to save their legs. You know, he has said you know, he doesn't want to go pads 4 days in a row, or, you know, he's gonna be careful. And that's what he was doing today. They got in fair amount of snaps. The way they're breaking practice in half with the ones on one side of the field and the twos and threes on the other is getting people a lot of reps. So yeah, that was kind of his philosophy. And it'll be a little different tomorrow.
Yeah, for me, Tom, you know, Adrian Amos had another interception of Aaron Rodgers. You kind of joked with Adrian afterward if, you know, he's on pace for what, 10 interceptions of the quarterback, one of the three quarterbacks. I don't really know where Aaron Rodgers might fit on a potential depth chart going forward. But, you know, he's thrown a couple picks to Adrian Amos and some drops that Matt LaFleur addressed after 4 days. I mean, look, it's one hand you could say 4 days, but also I believe the opener is 2 to 3 weeks away. So, you know, it matters. So I've kind of noticed that some issues still there with actually receiving the ball. Quick housekeeping note, Devontae Adams on that interception did limp off the field, came back. Matt LaFleur said afterward he thinks Adams will be just fine.
He only came back for the walkthrough. So, I mean, he did look like he's okay, but we'll have to see. You know, sometimes those things can swell up or, you know, initially I'm sure it maybe got into his head that, oh, no, this could be turf toe kind of a thing. But from what I saw, he was it looked like maybe got stepped on, and it was on what they were looking at was the outside of his foot. And that's not where turf toe is usually with your big toe. And so he may have just, you know, he had that turf toe injury last year. And as soon as something happens to your foot, you might kind of react, be a little nervous. So, this afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, and this afternoon, the Packers and you and I will be in Lambeau Field for the first time since the Packers beat the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round of the playoffs, you know, 7 months ago. And the reason why that's significant is because, A, the team doesn't usually do that. You'd have to – can you recall the last time the team held a practice on their game field?
Only those
other than the family night
scrimmages, night scrimmages. Yeah, I mean, usually they guard Lambeau Field, you know, like it's the Taj Mahal. They don't want anybody on it. And, you know, it's got to last the whole season. They don't want anybody chewing it up. But he feels strongly that they need to practice in there. And he's right. They need to get in on a field in a stadium where there's not going to be any fans.
Yeah, and it's the first of what he said will be three practices at Lambeau. I'm presuming he will save one of his night practices for there too. I think he referenced that earlier, you know, working a night practice because they have some night games. And yeah, that it'll be interesting to hear it, to see it, you know, because I especially, you know, on Reinitschke Field, they're still pumping in the music, you know, that the players want to hear. You know, Matt LaFleur mentioned that the league is going to provide some ambient noise at some point. You know, I'm presuming that's going to be for the regular season. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like he had that when we spoke to us on Wednesday, Tom. So I'm curious if they're going to bring in music or if they're just going to go stone silent, just to see what it's sounds like, both on both sides of the ball.
Well, they have that ambient crowd noise too. When they want to work on playing in a dome, they have crowd noise that they pipe into the Don Hudson Center. So they could play some noise. My guess is it's going to be the NFL is going to use some kind of a very monotone, low level, just cheering like you would normally hear. You know, if they're smart, they just take the noise from when there's a timeout or something and use that kind of crowd noise. That would be my guess as to what they do. And maybe he's going to play around with that at Lambeau. That's something we'll definitely be looking for and can report on too.
Yeah. And to that, Tom, I'm, you know, we're still kind of, as we record this, you know, and as you listen to it, we're still trying to figure out what exactly we can say to you in these podcasts going forward, tweet about, and more importantly, write about over at jsonline.com, packersnews.com. And because as we were literally heading to the field Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, you know, we get a note from the team changing reporting policies, you know, 3 days after camp opened. And basically what this means is, we no longer, you know, per the team, can say who's winning the right, who we feel is winning the right tackle competition between Billy Turner and Rick Wagner, or right guard with Billy Turner and Lane Taylor. We can't note if we feel there's a number two receiver, quote unquote, lining up outside of Devontae Adams. You know, things like that. Yeah, so really, it's sort of taking information away from you.
I could go on a diatribe, and I might. I'm very.
We're here for Mad Tom Silverstein.
I'm really upset about it, but I'm upset about it not for me. I mean, I don't feel like tweeting is hard. Watching practice and tweeting is really, it takes some skill. And I just assume watch practice and not have to tweet about stuff. But this is for the fans. I mean, this is for people who have been sitting at home in a pandemic looking for anything, for some sort of normality. And, you know, the one thing they should be able to turn to is their publicly owned football team, where let's be real now. We're talking about them cutting 27 guys and being able to bring back 16 of them. And they're worried that a little bit of information on one guy is going to be the difference in whether the San Francisco 49ers pick them up or not. And really, when you look at it, are the 49ers going to take our assessment seriously, you know? So they're going to make their assessments based on reporters. It's absurd. And the other part of it is that teams that are confident in themselves, they don't care. I mean, the 49ers are allowing all kinds of access to their practices. I did a bunch of searches. Seattle is live streaming their practices. Even the Saints, who are kind of, you know, hard asses, are allowing that kind of information that we're being denied. The one team that the Packers are now practically equivalent with is the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears have long been the most restrictive for whatever reason. I don't know. You know, maybe they think they have a captive audience because they're in such a big city. But other than New England, you know, which New England is an anomaly, you know, what, that's who you are now, Packers. You're the Chicago Bears of media policies. And I know it sounds like I'm whining and everything, but this is stuff that you, the listener and the reader, enjoy. It's stuff I would enjoy if I were following the team. You know, who's playing at right tackle? How are they switching them? Is Billy Turner playing guard or tackle? Or, you know, who's going to be the receiver next to Davante Adams? The ridiculous part about this is that those guys are going to make the team. So why can't you write about guys you know are going to make the team? And so there's no question that they're going to be on the team and no team is going to pick them up, you know, because they're not going to be available. If I write that Za'Darius Smith has been beaten out by Tim Williams, Za'Darius Smith isn't getting cut, you know. I'm beside myself. It's so stupid. I've never seen, and you know, I was thinking about it. You know, Brian Gutekunst, and this is his plan. This is on him. He worked under Ron Wolf. And when I covered Ron Wolf, I could call him anytime and ask about a player, and he would tell me. And if it were off the record, if he didn't want it to be known, you know, that this guy was doing really well and didn't want him out there, he'd tell me. You know, he'd say, I don't want this necessarily out there, but then he'd give me a little bit of information on the guy. This is just absurd, you know? I mean, get real.
And that is the thing, I think, for our listeners who come to us, and we thank you for that, who read us. Yeah, it's not about Twitter, as you said. It's about the content you want to read. And yeah, Packers fans want to know where A.J. Dillon is.
They deserve to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, follow sports.
Exactly, Tom. And we're the conduit for you. And you guys know that. I mean, Packers fans, honestly, Tom, you know, in my few years now full time on this beat, are into that stuff. You know, for instance, and look, this was in the open practice before the media change. So when Alex Light filled in for David Bakhtiari following the injury on Wednesday, again, before the media change, which has been reported, that's interesting and notable and matters. And again, Alex Light was the swing guy a year ago. So even beyond that stuff, that's what's being taken away under the guise of COVID-19 has eliminated fans from Reinicke Field. So now the tarps are up all the way around the field and no one can look. And now, you know, you can't hear or read about what, you know, your team is doing, because you're right. You know, the Packers somehow feel whatever we apparently wrote or didn't write about Travis Fulgham and Travis Bruffy, you know, could impact their waiver situation after they were released on Wednesday. So it is. It's really weird. So I think, honestly,
it's not weird. It's stupid. It's stupid. Just dumb. Absolutely ridiculous.
It is. So I think what we can do today at Lambeau you know, is if there are the one-on-ones, from my understanding, right? If there are the one-on-ones, like Dean Lowry going up against Elgton Jenkins, if Za'Darius Smith returns to practice after 2 days, you know, and he's one-on-one with somebody, I think obviously tracking if these receivers can catch passes, you know, that's still fair game.
Yeah. You know, I think what I'm going to do is, so if David Bakhtiari doesn't practice and Alex Light plays, you know, is lining up for him, I'm going to do a multiple choice on Twitter and say one of these guys is filling in for David Bakhtiari. You know, A, Adrian Amos, B, Mason Crosby, C, Alan Lazard, D, Alex Light. I didn't reveal anything. It's up to you to choose. You know, there's no information given there by me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you are on Twitter and you're listening, you know, we tried to have some take a lighter approach to our protests over this new policy in several fashions along those lines. Yeah, so, you know, as we work through this, this is all new for us. It's clearly new for you as you're listening to this. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say what I'm going to be looking for, I guess. Well, I can say what I'm looking for. I don't know if I can tell you if I see it or not. And what I will look for in today's practice at Lambeau Field is, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tim Boyle and Jordan Love in whatever capacity, you know, they're on the team. You know, are they working hard counts, silent counts? Are they put in a position to do such things? You know, defenses, what does it sound like to hear Christian Kirksey communicating or the defensive line communicating? Is the noise pumped into where we can't hear it? I don't know. This is all kind of new. And so I think, and again, it's new for everybody. So that's what I would be looking for, listening for, to be determined if I can relay that to y'all. Right?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's so bear with us as we navigate. But what I will say, Tom Silverstein and I will be there. The PackersNews.com team, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, Olivia Reiner, we will also be there yet again. And we will be reporting and covering this team the best to our ability up and around these new restrictions. So that I can't guarantee. So be sure to download the PackersNews.com app, subscribe to JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com. Definitely some deals out there. You know, it's a dollar. Can't beat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will still continue to provide you the most up-to-date information as it happens, as we get it, and in whatever capacity that can be.
Yeah, I don't know if we offered anything today. You know, maybe we should each give one observation of what we saw just so people can get something out of this. I will start and talk to LaFleur or ask LaFleur about this, but I keep seeing drop passes, a lot of drop passes in the early going. And he acknowledged that, said some of it's just because it's a start of camp, which is true. But, you know, I'm watching a walkthrough and Rodgers throws a pretty nice ball for a walkthrough to Equanimeous St. Brown, who's not covered, you know, it's a walkthrough and he dropped the ball. You know, it's just like, you know, you want to see that stuff cleaned up. And if you're Matt LaFleur, and I'm sure that he'll be watching that stuff can't happen.
Yeah. And for me, you know, it's, I guess my takeaway again has been the play of the secondary. You know, we open this with the interception of Aaron Rodgers from by Adrian Amos. Look, he had two picks or three career picks before he was signed last year. He had two last season, equaling a career high, two again now here in camp. for as much as the receivers are having issues holding on to things, clearly whatever ball skill work these DBs have been doing. Jair Alexander hasn't really had an opportunity yet, but these guys are catching the ball. Josh Jackson had a nice PBU on a play today, and so or Wednesday, I should say. So, I think that was another takeaway for me, Tom, was the DBs really getting after it and being around the ball and making sure they're not completed.
Yeah, as much as Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are probably the top strength, and Kenny Clark, the strength, the secondary is not far behind. And I think they got a chance to be pretty good if they stay healthy. We'll see how Chandon Sullivan, that'll be a key, how he performs in the slot, and also whether Kevin King stays healthy. Excuse me. If that were to happen, they got a chance to have a really good secondary because they got a lot of guys there. Raven Green is getting a lot of playing time, and Will Redmond is in the mix too. So there's a lot of DBs competing for time.
Yeah, for sure. And that's looks to be a strength of this roster. You know, it's a lot of guys who are now in year two under Mike Pettine, guys who have a lot of game film to draw back on. And there's a lot of continuity there, Tom. You know, there's for as much as we've talked about that on offense, the defense hasn't changed at all. Mm-mm. You know, Dean Lowry was asked on Wednesday about, you know, really the only addition to his room being Trayvon Hester. And across the board, it's a pretty, you know, it's what you saw last year. So now that we'll see if they can take a step together, run defense. But I think for now, at least the coverage seems to be, you know, a strong suit. So, make sure to, find us Friday. You know, that will be – well, not – it will be Friday, Tom. Excuse me. Saturday will be practice. Friday's an off day, so we will not do a podcast for Friday afternoon. But we will be talking to, looks like, some coordinators and some defensive position coaches. So Saturday's podcast, we'll recap some highlights from those interviews. We'll see what they tell us about their guys. And then, obviously, Saturday you're starting a new week. And, again, the countdown to the opener in – I mean, Saturday, Tom, will be 2 weeks out of first cuts, or the cuts down to 53.
Yeah.
So it's getting a crunch time already.
And if you want to know about practice tomorrow, Olivia will have the Facebook live stream, which you can also access if you're not live. So we'll have plenty of video or information on practice.
Yeah, great point. And make sure to check out all of those post-practice live streams hosted by Olivia Reiner.
Oh, and Leroy Butler and I are scheduled to do a five questions on Friday. So get ready for that.
Wow. Yeah. Always good to have Leroy back in the virtual chair. Right, Tom? So that'll be great. And, so thanks again for listening and for bearing with us as we navigate this new world. But never fear. Tom and I are here for you, and we will talk to you soon.